I want to read a quotation for you out of The Great Controversy. For those who know me, they know that this is one of my favorite books. The Great Controversy. And I'm reading from page 622. The Messenger of the Lord states, "It is often the case that trouble is greater in anticipation than in reality. But this is not true of the crisis before us. The most vivid presentation cannot reach the magnitude of the ordeal." So I could sit here or stand here for 5 hours giving a synopsis about what it will be like during a time of trouble, and that would not even reach the magnitude of the ordeal. We know that in Leviticus chapter 16, it talks about the seventh month, on the tenth day of that month, was a solemn day for the Israelites. That day was called Yom Kippur, or Yom Hadin, the Day of Judgment. The antitype of that day took place on October 22nd, 1844, when Christ, our High Priest, moved from the Holy into the Most Holy. And you know, Leviticus 16 is where I would like you to turn in your Bibles, because that's where the crux of our study is going to take place from tonight. You see, we're moving now to the very closing scenes of the investigative judgment. And my message is entitled, "Only the Fit Shall Survive." Only the fit shall survive. And as we go down in our message, you'll understand what I'm trying to bring out. The Lord, as I was studying, showed me to share this with His people. Leviticus chapter 16, I'm going to read verse 20 and 21. And this talks about the closing scenes of the investigative judgment on the Day of Atonement for God's people. The Bible says, "And when He have made an end of reconciling the holy place and the tabernacle of the congregation and the altar, He shall bring the live goat." There are many people that believe, Seventh-day Adventists believe, that the devil has a part in our salvation. But the Bible says, "When He have made an end of reconciling the holy place." Now in Leviticus, the holy place is talking about the most holy place, and the tabernacle of congregation is talking about the holy place. And it goes on to say, "And the altar," then the Bible says, "He shall bring the live goat." Now the antitype of this scene here takes place in Revelation chapter 22 verse 11. I'm going to be sharing some scriptures with you tonight, so be prepared to go for your Bible. Revelation chapter 22 verse 11. Keep your finger in Leviticus chapter 16. The Bible says of this time, the decree goes forth in Revelation chapter 22 verse 11. "He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. And he which is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still." And this takes place during this text in Leviticus chapter 16 verse 20. Verse 21 says of Leviticus chapter 16, "And Aaron shall lay both his hands upon the head of the live goat and confess over him all the iniquities of the children of Israel and all their transgressions and all their sins." Now who is Aaron, my brothers and sisters? He's the high priest. So Aaron here represents Jesus Christ. You see, sin has to go somewhere. either our sins are going to be placed upon Satan's head, who is the author of sin, or our sins are going to be on our own heads. But one way or another, Jesus Christ will terminate sin in this planet. Because this planet is in quarantine. It's the only planet in God's universe that is fallen. And God's had enough. The cup of man's iniquity is about to be filled. Do you believe that? Yes. The Bible goes on to say, and putting them upon the head of the goat, and shall send him away by the hand of a fit man into the wilderness. Another thing we have to realize, that according to Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22, I'm going to read that text for you, to refute the argument that Satan makes our atonement. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22, the Bible says, and almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without the shedding of blood is no remission. You see, the live goat doesn't be killed. It's not killed. It's a live goat. And it's only through the blood of the victim that our sins can be cleansed. You see, Satan is the originator of sin. And all sin that is confessed and forsaken ultimately will be placed upon his own head. But the Bible goes on. We're back in Leviticus chapter 16. It talks about how the goat will be sent away by the hand of a fit man into the wilderness. And you know, goats, they like to buck. You know, in the Hebrew, when it talks about this fit man, the Strong's Concordance says, one that is prepared, one that is fully grown, one that is a chief leader of the people. You know, Ellen White says in Christ's Object Lesson, page 69, we know the text. When the character of Christ shall be perfectly reproduced in his people, then he will come to claim them as his own. Only the fit will survive. Now Leviticus 22, 16 verse 22 also says, and the goat shall bear upon him all the iniquities unto a land not inhabited, and he shall let go the goat in the wilderness. So this fit man will take the goat into the wilderness, into a land not inhabited. Brothers and sisters, only the fit will survive. Who is this fit man? Revelation chapter 20 verse 1 and 2 gives a synopsis about who this fit man is. Revelation chapter 20 verse 1 and 2 gives a brief synopsis about who is this fit man. The Bible says, and I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. Listen to verse 2. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. Now that angel is Christ. But that's not literally Christ coming down from heaven. That's Christ in his people. You see, the only way the devil could go into the wilderness is when God's people take him by his horns and take him into the wilderness, into a land not inhabited. And when you study Revelation chapter 20, you know this chapter is talking about Satan being banished for 1,000 years. You see, God's people have to come to the point where they banish Satan for 1,000 years. And the only how that we could banish Satan for 1,000 years is when we have complete victory over sin. We have complete victory over sin. Verse 3 of Revelation 20 says, and cast him into the bottomless pit Now we know that the word bottomless pit means an abyss, a place of wilderness, a place of desolation. Look at verse 26 of Leviticus chapter 16. I want to give some foundational texts. Leviticus chapter 16, verse 26. Now if you study Leviticus, the book of Leviticus, you realize that chapter 4 talks about all the different offerings up to about chapter 7. And from chapter 7 to chapter 15, it talks about the health message. Because God wanted to prepare his people to stand in the Day of Atonement. And you can't stand in the Day of Atonement if you're not abiding by the laws of health. You see, we have to be fit men. Fit men. Men prepared, fully grown, the chief leaders of the people. So verse 26 of Leviticus chapter 16, we're going to look at some things here in the Word of God. It says, "And he that let go the goat for the scapegoat shall wash his clothes and bathe his flesh in water and afterward come into the camp." He shall wash his clothes. Now when you look, study the Old Testament, my brothers and sisters, there are many interesting lessons about what it means to wash your clothes. First text is Exodus chapter 19, verse 10. Exodus chapter 19, verse 10. Now we know the context of Exodus chapter 19 is when Moses, when the Lord was about to give his law unto his people, he was about to manifest his glory on the Mount Sinai before his people. Exodus chapter 19 and verse 10 says, "And the Lord said unto Moses, Go unto the people and sanctify them today and tomorrow, and let them wash their clothes." So part of sanctification is that God's people wash their clothes. Is it talking about my suit? What type of clothes are we talking about here, my brothers and sisters? Genesis chapter 35, verse 2. Genesis chapter 35, verse 2. Another text. The Bible says, "Then Jacob said unto his household and to all that were with them, Put away the strange gods that are among you, and be clean, and change your garments." The strange gods. Did you know that everything you put before God is a god? And if you're not totally surrendered to Christ, you will set up idols. Do you know that? Idols. We could be idolaters today if our minds are not totally consecrated and surrendered to Jesus Christ. And if we're not wearing his garments, which is the garments of Christ's righteousness. You see, only the fit will survive. Our next text we can look at, how do we wash our clothes, my brothers and sisters? Ephesians chapter 2, Ephesians chapter 5. Verse 26 tells you how you wash your garments. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 26. Now this, the context of this is talking about the love that Christ has for his church. Ephesians chapter 5 verse 25 says, "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word." Jesus says, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." You have to know your Bibles, brothers and sisters. Because the delusions that are going to take this world captive, if it was possible, it would deceive the very elect. You have to know the word of God. Because if you don't know the word of God, there's no way you're going to be able to wear the righteous robes of Jesus Christ. Next text. How else are God's people washed? Revelation chapter 1 verse 5. Revelation chapter 1 verse 5. And we see that we're creeping into the book of Revelation. We're slowly creeping into the book of Revelation. We are an end-time people, and this is an end-time book. And Ellen White says that when the books of Daniel and Revelation are studied in their proper context, there will be such a revival amongst God's people that this world will shake. There was 120 in the upper room. The gospel went to all the world, and they turned the world upside down. There's more than 120 people in this room right now. If we was totally consecrated to Christ, this world would shake. We have to stop politicking and get down to the work of God, because God is expecting his people to shake this world. The devil has all his machinery in place. I will tell you, the devil is ready to move to annihilate the image of Christ in God's people. Only the fit will survive. Revelation chapter 1, verse 5. Let's read that text there. The Bible says, "And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us, and washed us from our sins in his blood." Not only are we washed by the word of God, but we're washed by Jesus Christ. There's no other name given upon men that they might be saved. Only Jesus. And Jesus says that my way, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And the psalmist says, "Thy way, O Lord, is in the sanctuary." So the sanctuary message is closely connected with the end time events. You know, when we look at this issue, who are these fit people at the end of time? Now, when you take a goat in the wilderness, my brothers and sisters, don't think the goat's going to go willingly. The Bible says the devil has come down with great wrath because he knows that he's got but a short time. He's kicking and bucking and fussing. You think the fit, that's why he had to be a fit man. Because the goat, you had to drag the goat into the wilderness. And God's people have to drag Satan into the wilderness. He has to be dragged. He's putting up a fight. And none of us have strove for sin yet to the point of blood. You know, and Jesus learned obedience by the things that he suffered. If he got it too easy, there's no way you're going to be able to stand in the crisis that is coming upon this world. It's impossible that you're going to be able to stand. When you look at Revelation chapter 14, I told you we're going to end in the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 14, we're talking about God's fit men. And when I say fit men, I mean that in a plural sense. Mankind, not only men, but men and women that have washed their robes in the blood of the Lamb, that have understood the Bible, that have taken hold of the spirit of prophecy, and they have loved not their lives unto death. Are you prepared to give this message at the peril of your soul? Your temporal soul, not your eternal soul. Don't fear those that could kill the body, but fear those that could kill the body and the soul. This is not a time to be timid, God's people. This is a time to go out with power. This is a time not to be yoked to men, but to be yoked to Christ, the captain of the Lord's host. You see, I've got to the point in my experience, my brothers and sisters, that I realize that I have to put Christ first in everything. Revelation chapter 14 explains about a generation of people that will be so fit because their relationship with Christ. Revelation chapter 14 verse 1 says, "And I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on Mount Zion." And notice that Mount Zion is in heaven. And how do I know Mount Zion is in heaven? Hebrews chapter 12. Verse 22 and 23 says that Mount Zion is the heavenly Jerusalem. You see, God's people have the high ground. Why do God's people need to have the high ground? Because the devil is the prince and the power of the air. And in any war, the army that wins is the army that has air supremacy. And if your mind's earthly, what's going to happen? You're going to be obliterated on the ground. You need to have the high ground. And the thing about it is, my brothers and sisters, that the devil is getting the high ground on God's people. as I travel and I see how God's people are so lax. And I know people that have sold their houses to go out and give this message. People that have made great sacrifices to give this message. And I saw a lamb stood on Mount Zion, and with him 144,000 having his father's name written in their foreheads. And the reason the father's name's in their foreheads is because they view the world like Christ views the world. They look at all the evil that's going on in the world, and they feel they have the very feelings and emotions of Christ, because their walk with Christ is so intimately connected. Are we so intimately connected, or are we indifferent at people's sufferings? You know, some people tell me, well, brother, let's just get our souls right. But you can't get your souls right. There's a way to get your souls right. And that way is to go through the sanctuary experience. And how do you go through the sanctuary experience? You've got to meet Christ at the altar of burnt offering. That's the cross. That's pardon and justification. Then when you go into the, before you go into the sanctuary, you've got to get baptized like Adam. And Lamont got baptized. And you're cleansed by the water of Christ. Then you have to go and eat the bread, the show bread. The bread is the word of God. And then, my brothers and sisters, you go to the altar of incense, where you have to pray. And your prayers are mingled with the righteousness of Jesus Christ. How's your prayer life? Because a weak prayer life means that you're a weak Christian. But there's not only the altar of incense. You've got to go to the candlesticks. And there's seven candlesticks, because there's seven churches. And that means that God will always have a light in this earth. Did you know that? From Ephesus to Laodicea. And the candlesticks are made of beaten work. And the beaten work represents the trials of God's church throughout the Christian dispensation. And the lamps are lit with the oil. And the oil represents the Holy Spirit. But you know what? The lights shine in the world. And the Bible says, let your light therefore shine. And that means that light means you have to witness. You can't just sit around waiting just to think that I'm going to get my life right. You have to go through the whole sanctuary experience. And when you go through the holy place experience, you're ready to go in the most holy place. To stand before the law of God. Only the fit will survive. Only the fit will survive. And how do I know that these people are fit? Let's look at the characteristics of these people. Verse 5 says, and in their mouth was found no guile. These people are transparent. You could look through them like you could look through the walls of the New Jerusalem. Have we got that type of experience? Are we transparent or are we deceitful? What is your motive? We heard that all the way through the convocation. My motive is, I'll be selfish and I'll be truthful. My motive is I want to get out of this dirty world. And I want to see Jesus. And sit at his feet. We have to wake up, brothers and sisters. You have to wake up. Because a great crisis is coming upon this world. And only the fit will survive. Another characteristic of these people is that they have no guile, but they stand faultless before the throne of God. And you know God's throne in Daniel chapter 7, verse 9 and 10 is like a flaming fire. Hebrews chapter 12 verse 29 says, our God is a consuming fire. That's why when Christ comes, people are going to be running to the rocks and the mountains. Because they're not reflecting his image. What does it say in the book of 1 John chapter 3? We shall see him as he is because we shall be like him. Are we like Jesus Christ? We have to be in his image. You know, you really think the devil's going to just go into the wilderness peacefully? What does the Bible say in Revelation chapter 12, verse 17? We're talking about the devil here. The Bible says in Revelation chapter 12, verse 17, and the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. That's us. He's not going to go peacefully. He's wroth. And the word wroth is an old English word that means he's very angry. We're in a warfare. And do you know that when there was war in heaven, the angels all knew each other? For how long? But they had to take their side. Not only did they have to take their side, brothers and sisters, but they had to engage in battle against angels that they knew for a long time. And that's the type of warfare we need to be in. We have to have that type of mentality. See, we have to have the high ground. Because only the fit will survive. We've come to the very end of time. Very, very end of time. It's got to the point now that in the political world, you know, the Bible says when the deadly wound is healed, that all the world will be wandering after the beast. And we know that the location of the beast of Revelation 13 is amongst the 10 monarchs of Europe. And Europe now is getting to the point where they want to be one. They already have a single currency. Did you know that the Pope's face is on the euro dollar? Do you know that the flag of Europe with 12 stars is meant to be the crown on the Virgin Mary's head? In Strasbourg, they have a cathedral that is dedicated to Mary. And most of the politicians that brought the European movement together are all Roman Catholic Jesuit educated politicians. That's why the beast has so much power. And the world is beginning to wander after the beast. And soon America will set up an image to the beast. And I want to say one thing. That in Leviticus 16, when the fit man takes the goat into the wilderness, it's not in a time of peace. It's when Aaron has made an end of reconciling the sanctuary. When the sanctuary has been cleansed. So what does that mean, my brothers and sisters? That means that after the close of probation is when we have to take the devil into the wilderness. And what happens after the close of probation? We have to stand in the sight of a holy God without an intercessor. So the devil's going to be so angry with us, and we're not even going to have an intercessor. That means that we have to have the Christian character right now. Right now. We have to come to the point where we are engaged in the war. Don't wait for that time. It'll be too late. That's Jacob's time of trouble. Study it out for yourself. What happened to Jacob when Esau was coming for him? If he had not repented of his sins, he would have been overthrown. All Jacob was worried about is if my sins were blotted out of the books or not. If he had one unconfessed sin, Ellen White says, he would have been overthrown. So now is the time to perfect Christian characters, not during the time of trouble. You see, my brothers and sisters, only the fit will survive. And you have to ask yourself the question, are you fit enough? Am I fit enough to be part of this great Advent movement that will take the world alight? But let me give you some encouragement. You see, the fit man, the reason that he sends the devil into the wilderness is because he is reflecting the character of Christ. And God has promised in his word that there will be a generation of people that fully reflect his character. Everything that God could have done for us, he has done. All we have to do is walk in the ways that God has set for us. We're living in the most critical time. I cannot even, you know, people say, well, Reg, give us a talk on what's happening in the New World Order. I can't even keep up with what is going on. And I've got to the point now where I'm not even following that. What I'm following is, how am I going to be ready when the winds of strife are let loose? Because I smell it. When I study the Bible and prophecy, I smell trouble upon this church like this church has never known. And this thing is going to come like a blinding force with overwhelming surprise. And anything that can be shaken will be shaken. And let me tell you something about the shaking, my brothers and sisters. It doesn't shake you out of the physical church. It shakes you out of Christ. The sifting is what removes you out of the church. And some of us might be shaken out of Christ. What are we going to do? We have to run to him that has the oil and the experience. and go right into the sanctuary. I want to read one quotation from the Spirit of Prophecy before I close. Ellen White says in Great Controversy, page 488, the subject of the sanctuary and the investigative judgment should be clearly understood by the people of God. All need a knowledge for themselves of the position and work of their great high priest. Otherwise, it will be impossible for them to exercise the faith which is essential at this time, or to occupy the position which God designs them to fill. You want to be a medical missionary? You want to be a preacher, a publisher? Do you know your sanctuary service? How do you know God wants you there? Because the Spirit of Prophecy says, if you don't know the sanctuary in connection with the 2300, the investigative judgment, it's impossible to know where God wants you to be. I'm just giving you the word of God. I promised with the Lord that I will not water down his message, that I will give the message how it should be given. If I sound like I'm being too straight, it's the word of God. We need to wake up and come out of this frivolity that we're in and really get serious about doing God's work. There must be thousands of people that would love to be in your positions, to be exposed to this type of Christian education. Not only students, but staff. The staff need to come up as well. Come up higher. Let's walk forward according to the Bible and the Spirit of Prophecy. Because God says that's the way to go, and the remnant will have the Spirit of Prophecy. Time, we're living on borrowed time. We're living at the very end of time. We don't have much time. Now is the time for God's people to awake and arise, because the most cataclysmic crisis is before them, and everything in the political, social, and economic world is all in place. God's just waiting for his people to demonstrate his character. And if we don't do it, God will raise up people out there. We're like Israel. We think that God's going to wait forever for us. God is God, and he can raise up the stones and the rocks outside there that will come and do the work that God has laid down in the Bible and the Spirit of Prophecy.